Reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, First Division, Second Wave. We finished the discussion of the 64 limbs of devotion, and then following that, Rupa Goswami is reiterating the limbs of devotion, going again through the 64, by citing different verses from Bhagavatam, especially to illustrate devotees who show those principles and also to give some further elaboration. So in the discussion, then he steps back from his discussion of Guru Parashraya. He's going from the beginning Guru Parashraya, and then Sri Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam, and Saravartana Vartanam. These are the first three principles. And he says that one should, in all one's following of bhakti, after taking initiation from Guru, and surrendering to Guru and serving him with love and devotion, whenever one practices these 64 limbs of devotion, then it should all be based on Shastra. And he cites the verse, Shruti, Smriti, Pranati, Pancharatrika, Vidimvida. So that's where we left off yesterday. That there's, we shouldn't act whimsically, but all our devotional activities in the service of Guru should be scripturally supported and based on the injunctions of the scriptures. It's called Vidhi Nisheda, the rules and prohibitions of the scriptures, do's and don'ts. Well, this is chapter 2, verse 102. Bhaktiraha ikantiki veyam avicharat pratiyate vastutastatata naiva yad ashastri itekshyate. This type of bhakti, which is supported by Shruti and Smriti and Pancharatras, like Narada Pancharatra, this appears to be pure only because of misjudging the facts. Actually, it is not aikantiki bhakti at all, because a lack of scriptural obedience is seen in it. And he has a whole discussion here in relation to that verse. He's saying that if someone, you get what he says, how could this devotion be pure, aikantiki bhakti, if there is disregard for scriptures? On the other hand, if it is actually pure bhakti, then how can it produce misfortune? This verse answers, the devotion of Buddha, Dattatreya, and others, whose philosophies completely reject the Vedic scriptures, appears on one level to be aikantiki bhakti. But that is because of one's misjudgment only, for that, quote, devotion completely rejects the scriptures. As we know, Buddha disregarded the Vedas. It's angas and scriptures following the Vedas. And if that is so, there can be no proper result. For according to the Vedanta, Shastra Yonitvat, the Lord is known only through scriptures. Therefore, if one disregards the Vedas and supporting scriptures attained through beginningless, authorized to civil succession, embodying the teachings of the Lord, who is the very source of Buddha and others, how can that be bhakti? How can that bhakti be pure? This should be the meaning. By the Vedic scriptures, one can understand that Buddha and others have the status of avatars. Moreover, it is by the Vedic scriptures that we understand that Buddha preached atheistic scriptures in order to bewilder the asuras. This is explained in the Triyuga portion of the Vishnu Dharma, one Shastra. There is also explained that Buddha was only an avesh avatar. Thus one should not take his teachings as authoritative. So this is part of an ongoing discussion, so we'll read a few verses before we discuss what's actually being said here. Because this is now the fourth discussion, these two verses, we're discussing the fourth principle, sadhu vartmana vartanam, to follow the path of the sadhus. So someone might say, well, Dattatreya was a great sadhu, so I'm following him. Or Buddha was a great Gotam Rishi, or he was a great sadhu, a saintly person, an avesh avatar. So I'm following Buddha, or I'm following Dattatreya's teachings. And so that's also following. And then after that, to argue that point, against that point, Rupa Goswami quotes this verse, Shruti Smriti Pranadi, Aikantiki Harir Bhaktir Utpatti Avikalpate. That if someone may follow a sadhu or may follow even an avatar, but if that sadhu or avatar, his teachings are not supported by the whole gamut of Vedic teachings, are not supported by the Shrutis and Smritis and Pancharatras, then it's utpatya vikalpate. The bhakti is ulta bhakti. It's not really devotion. We can't say that following Buddha means you're a devotee, or following Dattatreya means you're a devotee, because their teachings are not devotional. They're actually anti-devotional. Devotional means surrender to the personal God and service to the personal God. And Dattatreya's teachings don't conclude in that, nor do Buddha's teachings, or do they point in that direction. So therefore, one has to be very careful that he may be sadhu-vartmana-vartanam, which is the fourth principle of bhakti. There are 64 limbs of bhakti. Number four is sadhu-vartmana-vartanam. But these are, if you follow these sadhus, who have, in one sense, made up their own teachings or giving some teachings, and they're also, even Jiva Goswami is saying, who is this Buddha? Buddha's he's one of the Das avatars. And who is Dattatreya? Dattatreya is also Shakti Vesha avatar. But their teachings are not bhakti, and this book is about bhakti. Nectar Devotion is about bhakti, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So he wants to qualify and remove any type of doubts or arguments where one might misinterpret this fourth limb of bhakti. Well, Rupa Goswami is saying that one of the limbs of devotion, one of the 64 limbs of devotion, is sadhu vartmana vartanam, to follow the paths of the path or the example of the saints. So Buddha is a great saint, and Dattatreya is a great saint, so I'm following him. But then he said, no, be careful. Where will they lead you? Will they lead you to the threshold of pure bhakti? Will they lead you to actual devotion to Bhagavan, to the personality of Godhead? And Rupa and Jiva are saying, no, be careful. It may appear to be aikantiki bhakti. Aikantiki bhakti means just one pointed devotion. Ekant basically means ekant, one end. There's one goal in mind, one purpose in mind, and that's the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna. But by following them, one will be led astray. If one follows Buddha, he's a great saint and a great personality, one of the Das avatars. But will he go to Vaikuntha by following Buddha? Because aikantiki bhakti will take one to the spiritual world. But following Buddha will not take one to the spiritual world. It will take you to Nirvashesh Brahman. It's Nirvan. That is not the variegated world of the Vaikuntha. It's a non-differentiated effulgence of the Lord. So this is why he's presenting this. Then the fifth, what is the fifth limb of devotion? Sadharma Pritcha. Sadharma Pritcha means inquiring into bhakti. And he gets a verse here from Naradiya Purana. Achirat deva sarvarta siddhyat yesham abhipsita sadharmasya vabodaya yesham nirbandhani mati. When the translation is, for those whose minds are attached to understanding bhakti to the Lord, those whose minds are attached to understanding bhakti to the Lord quickly attain all their desired goals. So he's saying here that he's trying to show the difference here between someone who may follow a sadhu and someone. This is the fifth principle of devotion. There are 64, as I mentioned. So number five is to inquire sadharma pritcha, prashna, to ask questions about the path of sadharma. And all the questions that one may ask if he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava, all the questions that one may ask, relevant, important questions that a devotee may ask about the path of devotion, about the sadhana, about the abhideya or the sadhana, and about the sadhya, the prayojana or the goal, they can be answered. Every question can be answered, and all the questions are answered. All the relevant questions and important questions that one needs to know the answer for are answered in the writings of the six Goswamis. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipano Sadharma Samstapako. Because they have studied all the scriptures, and they've posed all the relevant questions. If you see in the Sandarbhas by Jiva Goswami, he's asking, how you say that Krishna and Balaram are God, but in the Vedas it says that Krishna and Balaram are born from a black and white hair of Vishnu. The Vishnu took a black and white hair off his head, Radhe, and produced Krishna and Balaram from black hair and a white hair. But we see, so this fifth principle of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sadharma Pritcha, to ask questions about the eternal Dharma. And we are saying, the point we're saying is that all the relevant questions that one could ask about how to practice devotional service, or what is the goal, the prayojan, or the sadhya, all the answers have been given in the writings of the six Goswamis. And that's what Srinivasacharya is pointing out in the second verse glorifying the Goswamis. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Sad Dharma Samstapako. This principle, Rupa Goswami is saying, Sad Dharma Pritcha. Pritcha means like prashna, to ask questions about Sad Dharma, eternal religious principles. And Srinivasacharya is saying, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipano Sad Dharma Samstak. That they, Rupa, Sanatan, Jiva, they've established the Sad Dharma. They've established the Sad Dharma where? In their writings. And how have they done it? How have they established the Sad Dharma for us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas? They've done it by Nana Shastra Vichar. They've considered or examined or analyzed Vichar, all the various Shastras. Nana Shastra means various Shastras. All these Shrutis, the Smritis, the Puranas, the Pancharatras, Shruti, Smriti, Purani, Pancharatra, Kavidim, you know. They studied them all, and they said, these are all the possible questions that someone could ask as a Gaudiya Vaishnava about sadhana and sadhya, the practice and the goal, and we're going to give all the answers here. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, that some people would say, well, in the Vedas it says that Krishna and Balaram were born from a black and white hair of Vishnu. Vishnu took a black hair and a white hair from his head, and he threw it down and became Krishna and Balaram. The white hair became Balaram, and the black hair became Krishna. This is God's mystic power, vibhuti, vibhuti mat sattvam. It's a spark of his splendor. Easy for God to do with his power, unlimited power. So someone might ask a question, well, is it true that Krishna and Balaram are simply a white and black hair of Vishnu? That's all? Could they possibly be something more than that? Krishna is merely the hair incarnation, or Keshavatar, or what is this? So then in a Sandarbha, I think it was in Krishna Sandarbha, this question is raised by Jiva Goswami, and the answer is given. And Jiva Goswami provides the answer by quoting so many scriptures to show the ontological identity of Krishna and Balaram. How they themselves are the source of all hairs. They themselves are the source of all hairs. Where we find hair, they're the source. Black or white, in this case, white. And they're the source of Vishnu and all the Purusha avatars, etc. So he sets things right. He answers the questions. And he raises the questions that we might postulate, or even more than what we might imagine to ask. And then he answers them quite thoroughly and convincingly with all Shastra Praman in the Sandarbhas. And this is the technique of all the Gaudiya Acharyas, especially the Sad Goswamis and their parampara, Rupanuga Vaishnavas, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Baladev Vidibhushan. They raise the questions, the relevant, important questions, and then they answer them. So it makes it easy for us. Oh, I'm going to read in your books. Oh, I was thinking about that. I had that same question. Then the answer comes. So in this way, the path of bhakti becomes clear. There's no sadhana sadhya brahm. This is one of the anarthas in the practice of bhakti, is to be bewildered about the process, the practice of sadhana, and be confused about the actual attainment. What is the attainment? What are we doing, first of all? What are we doing and how do we do it? And then the next question is, why do we do it? Why are we practicing and where does it lead to? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? So these are the relevant questions which comprise, at least a few of them, or most of them, comprise this subject called sadhana sadhya tattva. But when one is confused or bewildered about these and cannot find satisfactory answers to these very questions, then he's in what's called bewilderment. It's called brahm. It's called sadhana sadhya brahm. And this is an anartha. Anartha is an unwanted thing. This is an impediment. This slows down the progress of devotion and impedes one's surrender. One cannot surrender unequivocally because of he's withholding, he's holding back because of doubt. Doubt holds us back, and knowledge pushes us forward. Doubt restrains us. Knowledge propels us. So the greater the knowledge, the more propulsion. The greater the doubts, the more retardation. So this is why we have to remove doubts with knowledge. So this is the fifth principle of devotion, Saddharma Pritcha. Query about true religion. This Sambhan Maharaj gives this translation. Here it's put in more common vernacular. Inquiry about bhakti. Both are correct. It is said, and this is the verse we quoted from Naradiya Purana. Here it says Naradiya Panchatra. The one whose mental inclination is very earnest to know all about the highest religion or eternal religion soon attains all his desired ends. I like to compare and contrast. We have Banu and Bon Maharaj, or Bon Maharaj and Banu, Swami, Prabhupada's godbrother and our godbrother. Both are, of course, are acting as our Shiksha Gurus in this field of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And we can benefit by their insight into the Sanskrit and their appropriate translations. Those whose minds are attached to understanding bhakti to the Lord quickly attain to all their desired goals. And he says, this translation is more word for word, and this is taking the word for word and putting it in a clear, maybe clear conception with common vernacular, Bala Maharaj's. Because when you have these words, Nirbandini Mati, all these words specifically, this means mental inclination. Mati means mental inclination. We hear that sannyasis, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bless people, would say, Krishne Matir Astu. Astu, let it be, may it happen. May it come forth. Mati, may your mind be inclined to Krishna. Mati, may your mind be turned. May your mind be turned towards Krishna. Krishne Matir Astu. Let it happen, let it be. Because now our mind is turned to everything but Krishna. Our mind is turned towards, it's called Krishna Bahirmukh. Our face is turned away from Krishna, Bahir, outside. Outward looking, we're looking out. Outward facing, outward looking, and we have to look within. So this is the blessing of the saintly person. He says, look within you. The kingdom of God lies within you. Introspection. Look within you, find the super soul. Find the eternal direction from the well-wisher within the heart. So mati means mental inclination. So he says, one whose mental inclination is very earnest to know Saddharma, Nirvandini, Achira Deva. He said, he's soon, Achira, it means very fast. Sarva Artha, all desirable things, all valuable, wealthy things, meaningful, lasting, substantial attainments will be given to the inquisitive soul. Sincerity and action and inquisitive in thought. So this is, we should ask questions. We should inquire, because this is the distinction between human life and animal life. The ability to inquire. Atatu Brahma Jignasa. Now that we have human form of life, we should make inquiry about Brahman. Dogs don't make any inquiry, as we've heard so many times. We can make suitable inquiry. And we have so many inquiries and questions as human beings about all irrelevant things, which is really unarth, unvaluable or worthless pursuits and questions we ask about worthless things of this world. Temporary value. But he's saying Saddharma Pritcha. We should ask questions about Sat, about eternal things. Saddharma. We have Dharma. There's Varna Dharma. There's Dharmas in this world. There's duty. There's action. There's Dharma. That is just Dharma. We say Dharma. I'm doing my Dharma. Sometimes people say, I'm doing my Dharma, doing my karma. I'm raising my family. I'm educating my children. I'm working. I'm going to school. I'm taking care of my mother and father. I'm living a Dharmic life, following the codes of religion. I'm not harming anyone. I'm following the Ten Commandments, whatever. So that's the type of execution of Dharma, or proper behavior, or code of human conduct. Living peacefully and amicably with other members of the society, and not creating disturbance in the immediate vicinity of your family or friends, or in the larger circle of social society. But Rupa Goswami is saying, okay, you ask questions about that area, that field of immediate bodily interest, but there's a greater field, there's a greater circle, the circle of the Atma, the circle of God, and that is called Saddharma, Saddharma Pritcha. So our questions should be in this circle. We should ask questions about this realm, Saddharma. How to become eternal, Saddharma Pritcha. Questions about eternal duty, inquiry about eternal actions, Saddharma, not just this Lokik. This Lokik Vichara, consideration of the world, Loka, Lokik. Loka means world, so Lokik means, Lokik Vichara means consideration and dealing with this sensual world, the world of the senses, the world that I see, the world that I feel, the world that I touch, the world of my body. But there's also the Atma. So the Atma world is the Saddharma world, and that's called Alokik, beyond this world, Paravyom. So Krishna helps those who help themselves, as they say. So when our mind is turned towards Krishna and we make suitable inquiries, then the Paramatma within, he's hearing the inquiries and he makes arrangements for answers to come. The answers come by revelation, which is direct intervention of the Supersoul, or the answers come externally through sacred teachings, through holy books or holy teachers. And in this way, we get some satisfaction and encouragement to go forward on the path of Saddharma. Then the sixth limb of devotion is Krishna Arte Bhog Adi Tyago. Krishna Arte Bhog Adi Tyago. It's quite simple Sanskrit. Tyag, Adi Tyag, beginning with Bhog. Bhog means so many things. Bhog means eating, Bhog also means sex life. When we say sambhog means, and the ultimate sambhog is enjoying sex union, is sambhog, it's called sambhog. But also sambhog means enjoying together. Julan Leela, that's sambhog Leela. Jalkali Leela, Radha and Krishna is sambhog. But also mitun, or conjugal union, is also sambhog. So giving up or renouncing all kinds of enjoyment beginning with bhog, why? Why should we do that? This is the goal of life. This is life itself, to enjoy. Krishna Arte Bhogadi Tyago. So this is Rupa Goswami saying, if you don't give up, without giving you can't receive. Without giving you can't receive. If you're just taking, there's no room to give. So he's saying you have to give up these things in order to, for the benefit of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, to make Krishna happy. It will please Krishna. If we let go of Maya, then we can embrace Krishna. It's difficult, it's very difficult to embrace Krishna and Maya at the same time. We can try, but usually we lose one or the other. If we're embracing Krishna and Maya at the same time, usually one of the two slips away. Krishna may not like it, and he'll slip away and leave us with Maya. Or maybe Maya won't like it. Oh, why, you're embracing me and Krishna, then I'm leaving. Then you're stuck with Krishna. So for a devotee, that would be a good proposal. But for someone who's mixed devotee, then he may have second thoughts. He may have second thoughts when Maya slips away and he's left with nothing but Krishna. Like, whoa, where did Maya go? I had a good deal here. Now I'm stuck with this blue boy. But it all depends on the purity of purpose. So then he cites a verse from Padma Puran to describe this point, which he also mentioned earlier in the list. He made a list of 64. These are the 64 limbs which he went through. Now he's enumerating one by one the individual limbs. So this is number 6 from Padma Puran. Harem udishya bhogani kalye tyakta vatastava vishnuloka stita sampad alola sa pratikshate. Renouncing enjoyment for pleasing Krishna. And what does he say here? He says here, sacrifice of everything for the sake of Krishna. Well, this certainly has more intensity in this translation. Here it says renouncing enjoyment. Okay, renounce some enjoyment for pleasing Krishna. So that's not an absolute condition there. That's not an absolute statement or principle. Here, this translation has absolutized the Sanskrit. Sacrifice of everything. Everything means everything. Body, mind, mano, kaya, vakya. Mind, body, words, money, intelligence, energy, everything. So, Hari, Hariam Udishya Bhogani Kali Tyakta Vatastava Vishnu Lokastita Sampat Alola Sa Pratikshate. That's the supporting verse. I rather like the more intense translation. It rattles the mind and shakes the heart with much more impact. If we just say, renouncing enjoyment for pleasing Krishna. Okay, you know, kamsa. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I'll renounce a little bit. Okay, Krishna, I'll give you, you can have the sweet ball today. I won't take it. I renounce, it says in the Kartik Mahatmyam, once you renounce, there's so many recommendations for pleasing Radharani or Jayashree or Kartiki Devi, Radha Damodar. It says one should renounce his favorite food stuff. So some of my friends from Delhi, hearing about these injunctions and niyams, of Niyam Seva month of following particular rules and regulations for the pleasure of Radharani, they said, yes, Maharaj, this month I'm going to renounce cashews, which is quite a heavy renunciation for a Punjabi. Most of us don't have to worry about renouncing cashews because we can't afford to buy them. Because cashews, at least the type they eat in Delhi, are 700 rupees a kilo. You know, the big, solid, big cashews, very tasty, Punjabi style. So, for us, it's no problem to renounce cashews, because we don't have enough money to buy them to start with. Yes, I renounce cashews. So that's easy. But if we renounce peanuts, then it may be a little more difficult, because that's what we can afford to buy, and we rather maybe like peanuts. So the idea is, so this one person told me, Maharaj, I'm renouncing cashews. And for this particular person, that was a big deal because they probably eat about 5 kilos a month cashews and have the money to buy them. So I was impressed by their severe austerities for Kartik. Krishnarte bogadi tyag. Tyag, tyagi, vairagi, renunciate. So this, I rather like this very severe definition. Sacrifice of everything for Krishna art, for the sake of Krishna. Now, of course, I always get a kick out of this English. This is translated in 1968, this book. I'd like to read the translation of this verse, which we read about Harimudisha. This is the modern translation of this verse from Padma Puran. When you give up enjoyable objects at the time of enjoying, aiming at the pleasure of the Lord, the permanent wealth situated in Vishnu Loka awaits you. So something comes your way to enjoy. For example, I remember one godbrother, his father died and he inherited $40,000. That was 1976. And that was quite a good lump of money. So he thought, oh, before I inherited this money, I was just a brahmachari and I had nothing and living in a temple, sleeping on the floor, as we did in those days. So now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I have $40,000 in my hand, in my face, in my eyes. So many thoughts, of course, come to enjoy. But he took the proper course of devotion. He said, everything belongs to Krishna. I didn't know anything about this was coming, and this has come to me. So he gave it all to the BBT for printing Prabhupada's books. He received 40,000, he gave 40,000. So this is a very good example of, as this verse saying, giving up enjoyable objects at the time of enjoying. The time of enjoying, there it is, it's in your hand, 40,000. You can go to Las Vegas or do whatever you want. You can really have a good time. You can really enjoy it. But he's immediately, there he has it, it's right in his hand. You could go for it, you can enjoy it, do it, or whatever they say, all these things. And then, oh, for the pleasure of the Lord, yes, my Lord, you take. So he gave up that wealth of this world, which is some wealth, fully for the pleasure of the Lord. And by giving up wealth of this world, this verse is saying that Vishnu Loka Stita Sampat. Sampat means wealth. It says it's awaiting him. Vishnu Loka Stita means like stan, lila stan. It's a position, it's place, it's a permanency, a permanent place, permanently situated, a place of permanence. You give out the wealth of this world for the pleasure of Krishna, and you get the wealth there. I mean, of course, the same verses are there in the Bible also. Very similar verses about wealth, giving up, having it. I forget it now, but something very similar about the kingdom of God. You have a place there by giving up this place. So he's saying, you give out this, yeah, Krishna, you take everything, whatever is coming to me, it's all for you, you take it, it's for your pleasure. And Krishna says, oh, you're giving up everything in this world for me? Then I, from my side, I have to do something for you. You're doing this for me, and this is love. That you're serving me and loving me and offering to me, then I must reciprocate in kind. You're giving up all this art, this value, this wealth, this sampat for me, this wealth. So I have to give something to you. I'll give you some wealth. I'll give you permanent wealth. Vishnu Loka Stita. Anything stita, anything located or situated in Vishnu Loka is eternal. Is eternal. It's never destroyed. It can never be taken away. And there's no taxation. The tax man can't come and confiscate your property or liquidate your assets or whatever they say. Foreclose your mortgage and take away your property. It's backed up by Vishnu Insurance Company. It's backed up by Vishnu. It says Pratikshita. Pratiksha, it's his promise. It's his, he's saying, yes, so you give up a few paltry pennies of this world and you attain everlasting wealth in the spiritual world. This is what's being said in this verse. And this translation from 40 years ago, this is interesting. I always like to hear this. It says, Thouist has sacrificed everything, all objects of pleasures, time after time, for the sake of Lord Sri Krishna. Therefore, all the steady wealth of Vaikuntha awaits thee in Vaikuntha. So then, this translator is putting some, very nice actually, translation, but he's putting some words in brackets, and he's saying that, he's giving some purport. Because the verse in Padma Purana is saying, if you give up the wealth, you attain some wealth in this world or some enjoyable objects, and you dedicate and offer them all to Krishna. Krishna, all these things have come to me for my pleasure, but let me live simply, as Prabhupada often advised us about simple living, high thinking. So let me live simply, let me offer all these things up to you for your pleasure. And then Krishna says, all right, Vishnu Loka Stita Sampat. Then I will give you wealth in the spiritual world. And the purport here, it says that, he says, steady wealth. You give up this temporary wealth, because wealth, money, or Lakshmi, or fortune in this world is called Chanchal. Another name for Lakshmi is Chanchal. Chanchal means she's unsteady. She's not steady. Sometimes here, with you, sometimes gone. Sometimes we have money in our pocket, and sometimes we're flat. We're broke, we're busted, we have nothing. But the wealth in Vaikuntha is not Chanchal. Lakshmi, of course, Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune, and she's in Vaikuntha. Sometimes she's residing on the chest of Vishnu, and sometimes she's massaging his feet. So even she's moving from his chest to his feet. She's not stita, or stiti. It says Vishnu Loka Stiti, Stiti Sampat. Sampat means wealth. You'll get permanent wealth that doesn't have the quality of Chanchal. It won't be here today, gone tomorrow. Will-o'-the-wisp. It's permanently situated there, and you will attain that wealth. When you come here, it will all be yours. So Krishna, this verse is telling us that Lakshmi is unsteady on earth, but permanent and progressive in the realm of the Lord, awaits you. In other words, when you attain the spiritual world, you attain all the fortune of Lakshmi. So this is the verse that Rupa Goswami uses from Padma Purana to illustrate this sixth principle of devotion called Krishnarte Bhogadi Tyago. Krishnarte Bhogadi Tyago. Giving up or renouncing all the enjoyments of this world, beginning with Bhog, for the pleasure and satisfaction of Krishna. Or as this translator says, sacrifice of everything for the sake of Krishna. Tomorrow we'll begin with the seventh principle. Seventh limb of devotion, which is living Dwaraka Adi Nivaso, Dwaraka Nivas, living in Dwaraka, which we're not so interested in, but we'll hear about it. It's one of the limbs of devotion, to live. in the 64. Of course, as he's progressing through the 64 limbs of devotion, then he gets to Mathura Mandala Stite, Mathura Mandala Stale. So, okay, living in Dwarka, that's number 6 or number 7. But when he gets down to the 5 most important, then he says, really, the most important thing is to live in Mathura Mandala or to live in Vrindavan. And no one here is going to argue with that. At least I hope not.